sure.
All right, we are on with Secretary of Education in the state of Oklahoma. His name's Ryan Walters. Thank you, Secretary, for taking the time today. Little dust up on the Twitters yesterday. I saw a tweet that came out from you, essentially, you know, taking superintendents and school districts to task for shutting down in the face of the latest, you know, Omicron wave of COVID. And the response that I saw on Twitter, and I honestly, I didn't scroll through the Facebook. There must have been 800 on there. But I went through the tweets. I sat there for an hour last night reading tweets, and I didn't see a lot of them that were agreeing with you on your characterization of the situation. You essentially said that they were reacting from fear. That's, I think, a quote from your tweet. And they're like, gee, Secretary, are you kidding? We've done everything. We've twisted ourselves into knots to try to avoid this situation. On reflection, do you think maybe you could have worded it differently, or do you stand by what you said? I'm just curious where you're at today.
So I'm always going to unapologetically stand for Oklahoma students. And what I said yesterday is we have to explore all options to keep our kids in school. And that's what I'm asking administrators to do. I'm asking that they pursue all options, meaning staff, resources. There's $2 billion in federal aid that Oklahoma schools received, and that aid is to keep schools open. I'm asking that they utilize those dollars, pay teachers, pay substitutes more. We've got to get help there for our teachers. Our teachers are being spread thin. Yes, we have teachers out sick, and the ones that are in the classroom are now taking on more and more to try to keep schools open. We've got to get folks into the buildings. We've got to get administrators to go help cover classes and help fill that need. And we need to have all hands on deck in order to keep our schools open.
And I don't think anybody's arguing that point, sir. I think everybody knows, and it, for those who didn't figure it out last year, the research is crystal clear. The kids do better socially, emotionally, mentally, psychologically. They do better when they go to school with other kids. We've seen that. And there are exceptions. So I'm not meaning to trash the virtual school idea, because for some kids, that works better. But I'm talking in general. So, as I read your tweet, and let's go through it. It says the first reaction should not be to shut schools down. And the response I saw overwhelmingly from superintendents was, this was like plan E. We did everything we could. So, you know, saying that it was the first reaction 2 years into a pandemic, you know, do you see where that might have irked some folks?
No, I don't. So I'm asking them to explore all options. And I'm telling all of the administrators that that want to have a conversation with me, I want to help. I want to do all I can in my position. The governor and I are in frequent conversations about what can we do. We're exploring that now. I've had some great conversations with school leaders on what they're going to do and what they're working on. I've had conversations with mayors this morning. I've had conversations with school board leaders this morning. And we've got Oklahoma communities that are coming together to help their schools stay open. That was the ask. The ask was for school leaders to explore all of those options and not do these long-term shutdowns. And we have schools that are doing that. By the way, 450 of our school districts are remaining open. Most of our schools are finding ways to stay open. And again, I've had some great conversations this morning with school leaders that are doing that. And that's what I'm asking. I'm asking that we do all we can, because to your point, we know that shutting down school is going to have a long-term impact on our kids academically. And we know it's going to have an impact on their mental health. That's my biggest concern, is those students that are getting that are not getting this in-person option. Oklahomans want their schools open. And that's what I'm asking for, is for us to explore all options to keep them open.
So in retrospect, as we go back to last year, was it a good idea to tell schools they can't have a mask mandate? To make it illegal for them to require the staff and students to wear masks?
No one knows better for a child than their mom and dad. The legislature passed that law to enable the parents to make the decision on whether their child will be masked. So that way, if a parent doesn't want a four-year-old to wear a mask all day, they don't have to. That was a decision the legislature made that was passed and signed by the governor. And it was empowering parents to make that ultimate decision on their kids' health. And I'm going to tell you the other thing. I'm not saying every kid has to be in school. I'm saying they should have the option to be in school. I know some parents that right now, they are choosing a virtual option for their students. You kind of mentioned this earlier. We want options for students. So if a parent feels comfortable sending their kid to school, we want them to be able to have the option to send their kid to school. If a parent wants to keep their kid home during this time or for a brief period of time or whatever, we want the parents to have that virtual option as well.
So what is the answer? Because again, I'm looking over the tweet and I don't see the verbiage of I want to help, I'll do anything I can. That's not in here. I think it's implied. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's been my dozens and dozens of conversations I've had since and interviews I've done since that I'm putting it out there to anybody. I'm exploring all options with the governor right now in order to help schools. I want to work with schools. I want to work with school leaders to help this happen. And again, I've had some great conversations with school leaders this morning that are telling me what they are doing to keep their schools open. And I want to applaud that. I applauded a superintendent last week on my social media as well for doing what he could to keep his schools open. So that's what I want to do. I want to help. I want to make sure our kids are having that in-person option. And so absolutely, I'm working with school leaders right now in order to do that.
And so what can you do? I'm not sure folks understand, you know, we have a state superintendent, which is an elected position, but right. you were appointed as a secretary of education by the governor. So I'm not sure I'm clear on exactly where the lines of demarcation are between those two offices. And so maybe you can explain what can you do? What are you doing? Sure. What do you think you could do better to try to alleviate this situation, which I don't think anybody thinks is good right now.
Right. So yeah, number one, just for clarifying, you're right. The state superintendent is an elected office. So the superintendent oversees the Department of Education. I serve as the education advisor to the governor and have some oversight authority over some of the other government agencies. But what we're doing is, I mean, I'm telling you right now, we are actively pursuing, I'm getting off this call to go into a meeting where we're going to have another conversation on what resources do we have available to help. And again, I'm telling school districts, reach out to me, superintendents, call me. I want to actively help you in any way I can. I want to help partner with any type of communities here to help find solutions. And that's what we're doing. We're actively pursuing any of these type of solutions. And I mentioned a few at the beginning of this interview, but we are seeing districts do this. We are about to see several districts that are going to talk about how they got substitutes in the classroom and the people that they reached out to and how they were able to coordinate that. And Oklahoma, we're going to come together and we're going to keep our schools open.
So I'm not going to read some of these replies. Some of them were snarky. Some of them were pointed. Some of them asked good questions, but a lot of them just pointed out that, hey, you know, physically, what in the heck are we supposed to do if we've got, and I'll just make up some numbers, okay? This is not any school district. This is me making it up out of whole cloth. But they say, all right, we have, you know, 200 teachers on staff, 40 of them are out with COVID. We have 15 substitutes, 10 of them are out with COVID. Do the math. What are we supposed to do? Put the kids in the gym for, you know, 100 kids in the gym and have them supervised by the janitor? So what, I mean, and some of them were more pointed than that. And I'm not stretching the point here. I'm sure you read a lot of these last night. So, you know, what do you tell folks? And what do they do if they're aren't any humans?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm telling folks.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm working with them. Yeah, what we're talking about doing right now is getting parents to agree to come into the school and substitute teach. Edmond Public Schools just sent this out. We're asking for half days. We're asking for morning hours. We're asking for anything you can do. Help us get on and tell us when you can help. Again, we're talking about a temporary time here where we're asking folks to come in. They're working with parents. I've got some other school districts that are going to send out this kind of community outreach and ask some of the nonprofits and churches to come in for a small amount of time to do this. And again, we can break that down. We can maneuver staff from central offices. I was on the phone with a district this morning that's going to do that, where they have some central office folks that are reporting every morning to the building of most need. And we can do this in order to keep that in-person option open for our students. Because again, we have students that if they don't have the ability to go to school, I talked to a lady whose neighbor is a single mother last night who got very emotional about that, about the 7-year-old that lives next door has no option. She can't afford childcare. She doesn't know what to do with her kid. She was in this situation last time. So we have kids like that around the state that if we close these options, they are going to be left with a much worse option of figuring out what they're going to do. And so anything that we can do to fill those gaps, those are just several of the things that we've been talking through this morning and options that are available. And again, I'm asking for us to explore all of these options before we close school down.
So if how does that work? I mean, are there not certain qualifications required to be a teacher? And if you know, the mom that lives next door goes, oh, okay, well, I'll go down there and watch a class for 3 hours. Are those kids actually learning anything? Or are they just, is this just essentially we need babysitting so that people can go to work? Because it doesn't sound like education. If there's 90 kids.
Russell, we need our schools open. We need our students to have the opportunity to go to school and have some normalcy, to go to school, to be with people that are watching over them, to get to be with their friends, to get to continue their learning in as much of a normal, stable environment as possible. So what we're doing is not perfect, but we can't let the perfect get in the way of the good. What we need to be doing is exploring all of these options in order to keep that option available for parents. And again, if a parent doesn't want to send their child to that school, that they can keep their student home. But there are parents, a lot of parents that have reached out to me and that I talk to that want that in-person option, and we need to make that available to them. And we've got to do this without overtaxing our teachers. We've got to bring in other staff and resources to help support our teachers to make sure that they have the support necessary to get through this time.
Okay, but with all due respect, sir, that didn't answer the question, which is what are they learning? How are they being taught by a person who's not a teacher in a room that's three times as full as it might normally be? And, essentially you've got a parent there who may have never attended an education course in their lives.
Okay. Schools take on substitute teachers every day. Schools take
who
on
have to be certified by the state or issued an emergency certification.
No, they do not. Substitute teachers, all they have to do is pass a background check. That's all a substitute teacher has to do. So every day, our schools utilize parents and community leaders to come in as substitute teachers. That happens every day in every school in the state. So what we're trying to say is to get out more awareness and broaden that scope out to bring more in. But this already happens. I am a teacher. I still teach. One of the things that we do, if a teacher is gone, the teacher lays out sub plans. Here's the curriculum. Here's what we're working on. Here's some tips on how to guide students through it. And the substitute comes in and does this. But we do this in schools. We have substitute teachers that come in if a teacher's out.
In a high school? You taught history, right?
Yep.
So my understanding is, and maybe I'm just way off base here, but I'm looking at teaching certification website that says in Oklahoma, you got to hold a valid teaching certificate to teach some classes. And in any case, you got to have a bachelor's degree or an expired Oklahoma teaching certificate. And you cannot work for more than 100 days each school year. I'm just kind of looking over some general rules. So, but what you're saying is, have we relaxed the rules on who can or cannot substitute and what they can or cannot teach? Or are we just, kind of bypassing them because of the crisis? I'm a little confused.
Sir. No, this is a great point you're making, though. So help me. I'm going to clarify this. What you're looking at is what are the requirements of a certified teacher, a teacher that's certified to teach in a school, which means that teacher gets a minimum salary, that teacher teaches for a certain amount of days a year, that teacher gets benefits and things like that. What I'm talking about are our schools already take on substitute teachers that just come in for periods of time. There is a limitation on how many hours and how many days that person can sub, but we have the ability for someone that doesn't have any of the requirements that you just said, that just passes a background check, to get into our schools and substitute teach. And that's something that that schools exercise regularly. So now to your point, certified teachers, I know that there's a lot of conversations around that moving forward and kind of how we certify teachers, but certified teachers are different than when a school takes on a substitute.
Gotcha.
Teacher. I appreciate you bringing that up.
No, and I appreciate the clarification because that was a misunderstanding on my part. I thought even, to be a substitute, you had to have that emergency certification. So I was conflating emergency certification, full-time teaching with substitute teaching, apples and oranges. And I appreciate the clarification. So is the call going out, are we publicly going help? We need every breathing adult human who has the time to come help us.
Yes, sir. The call is let's help ARC teachers. Let's come in. Let's temporarily substitute teach so that these kids don't have their learning interrupted and so that our students can have this in-person option. So again, anybody who can do that, I'm looking at going into a school and substitute teaching. I'm talking to administrators right now and working this out. And again, any of us that can do this for the short period of time to make sure that our kids are going to have this option. I know Oklahomans, we come together in moments like this, and that's what I'm asking, is that communities come together to work with their school to help the teachers and ultimately help the kids.
Well, and you would be qualified, right? Because you were a teacher for several years yourself, yeah?
Yes, sir, and I still teach. I'm actually still a teacher. So, yes, sir, I taught in the classroom full-time for 8 years, and I've been teaching classes ever since. So I still keep some classes, so I still do teach. But I absolutely want to help in any. I told you earlier, I want to help in any way that I can. This is going to be a time for us to explore all the options to keep our kids in school.
Well, I got to tell you, and you've been very generous with your time. I know you got stuff to do. But as I was reading some of those comments, I saw several people inviting you to come teach there or come drive a bus for them.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'm thinking, that's really a partial solution, folks. He can drive one bus or teach one class. I don't think that's going to necessarily stem the tide here, but
sure. And that's where all options on the table. Let's have this conversation. Let's reach out. Let's see who can come in and help. And absolutely, I'll do what I can. But we need to do as much as we can for our schools right now.
All right, sir. Fair enough. Well, I always give folks the last word. Anything else that you'd like to add or any questions I should have asked you and stupidly didn't?
No, sir. I appreciate the time. And again, I'm calling on our schools to do all we can to stay open. Our kids deserve this. We've got to be consistent for our kids and provide them as an in-person option. As long as we can make that available and explore all options to do that, that's what we've got to do. So I appreciate your time to be able to share that message today.
All right. And I appreciate you answering questions candidly. And I'm sure we'll be talking again because as we mentioned before I started recording, you are going to be running for Superintendent of Education, State of Oklahoma. So you got a lot of irons in the fire, brother. So good luck with all that. Secretary Ryan Walters, do appreciate your time, sir. And we'll talk again. Stay safe.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.